This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Wednesday, February 23rd, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to our number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us across America on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. It's always a blessing to be with you once again. On Wednesdays, we try to encourage you to go to Joseph, to pray to St. Joseph and invoke his powerful intercession. Today is also the memorial of St. Polycarp, Bishop and Martyr. St. Polycarp was converted to Christianity and was a disciple of St. John the Apostle. He was also friends with St. Ignatius of Antioch and taught St. Irenaeus. I want to bring in our Glenn Leverance. Glenn, the news on the crisis in Ukraine is changing rapidly. Many people, including the Holy Father, are praying for the situation in Ukraine. What is the latest?
In preparation for that invasion by Russia, Ukraine calling up reservists, expected to declare a state of emergency as well. U.S. and Western allies have imposed some sanctions, including Germany declining to approve the Nord Stream 2 pipeline that would import much needed natural gas from Russia to big parts of Europe as well. And also Pope Francis weighing in, John, on this situation.
On the topic of Ukraine, he said that the situation has caused him great personal pain. And of course, despite the fact that the diplomatic efforts over the last week have not seemed to play out, he said many people throughout the world are feeling the anguish and pain. So he felt the need to call the world to this special day of prayer on this coming Ash Wednesday on the 2nd of March.
And 2nd of March, that's next Wednesday. That's our Ashley Nerona from Rome.
Absolutely. And the Holy Father is invoking the Queen of Peace, our Blessed Mother, to preserve the world from what he calls the madness of war. Glenn, thanks so much for keeping us plugged into the latest developments and everything that's happening in this very serious situation with Ukraine.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. And we especially continue to pray this morning for peace in Ukraine with Russia in Eastern Europe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, can you believe that Lent starts just a week from today with Ash Wednesday coming up on March 2nd? Have you thought about any Lenten resolutions for this year? How about attending daily Mass and receiving the Holy Eucharist more often? In case you recently missed me over the last week or so talking about Father Rocky's Lenten lessons on the Mass, which are totally free to you every day, here is a preview.
My name is Father Rocky. I'm a priest, and many times people ask me for a blessing. So I say to them, do you want a regular, extra, or super duper? And they always want the super duper. So this year, Relevant Radio is bringing you a super duper series for Lent, the Lenten Lessons on the Mass. We're going to take you behind the scenes. You're going to learn things you've always wondered about, but you never had anyone to ask. We're going to explain it all to you, because the more you learn about your faith, the more likely you are to live it. And if you live it, you'll love it. If you love it, you will never leave it. So go to relevantradio.com. Patreon.com/Lent and sign up for these super duper high definition premium edition videos of the Lenten lessons on the Mass. And may God bless you.
And now we're joined live by Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky himself, the CEO of Relevant Radio, for much more on his new super-duper Lenten Lessons on the Mass. Father Rocky is a priest of Opus Dei who was ordained by Pope St. John Paul II, and he's the author of several books, including Mary at the Crossroads of History. Good morning, Father Rocky. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us this morning. It's always a joy to be with you.
Hey, John, great. Thank you very much for the invitation. I love your show. I'm hearing good things about it. And yesterday, you guys did an awesome job. You had the Archbishop of the Ukraine on your show the day that these dramatic events were happening. So I want to congratulate you and your team for keeping things very, very relevant. So, yes, the Lenten Lessons on the Mass. Here, let me tell you a little story about this. Back in the year 2010, some of our people in the marketing department told us anyone who was on air had to have a Facebook page. And I was really reluctant to have a Facebook page because I didn't want more to do. But anyway, after a couple of years, it occurred to me one morning in Lent, maybe it was 2012, 2013, that my Lenten sacrifice that year would be to write a little lesson on the Mass each day for Lent. And I'd post it on my Facebook page. And the reason that would be a sacrifice is if I committed myself to do it in public, I had to carry through on it, right? So I wrote those, and we also put a little picture with it. Then several years later, Damian Schmidt, who's in our digital department, he said, Father, what do you think about sending those Lenten lessons of the Mass out to some of our audience by email? I said, that's a great idea, but I don't know where they are. I think they're somewhere lost in the cloud. He said, oh, no, I kept copies of them, and I kept copies of the pictures. I said, well, that's amazing. So a couple of years ago, we sent them out, and about 3,000 or 4,000 people signed up. And this year, we'll be sending them out to more than 130,000 people every day who are who've signed up for these Lenten Lessons on the Mass. And now it's much more than just a written text and a picture. We've produced some high-definition videos, and they're free to you. And we have 40 different videos, and we walk you through from the beginning of the Mass to the end of the Mass. You could actually do 1,000 lessons on the Mass, but we just do these for each day. And plus, I'll record those lessons, and they'll go on the network, and millions of people will hear them. And it all comes back to something I've learned along the way as a priest. It's like the four L's of practicing your faith. First, you have to learn it. And many people don't know because they've never been taught. And if you learn it, then you can live your faith. And I guarantee if you live it, you will love it. And if you love it, you'll never leave it. So it all begins with learning. And the church teaches us you can't not love what you do not know. And so that is my main task here as a priest, is to share with our audience, young and old, male and female, East Coast and West Coast, what I know about the Mass, because I know many times people don't know. Sometimes I celebrate Mass, and I begin with the sign of the cross. I say, the Lord be with you, and the people are silent. They don't know how to respond. They don't know when to stand up or kneel down, because they've been kept in the dark. They've been kept ignorant, and we can't have the faithful be ignorant, because if they're ignorant, they're powerless. And so we're trying to empower people by giving them knowledge. And when it comes to the Mass, John, you get out of it what you put into it. So the Mass isn't like going to a movie where we need to be entertained. We have to come there with preparation and sacrifice. And that's the whole idea of these Lenten Lessons on the Mass. Everybody listening right now, you can sign up for them. You can get them for free in your daily email box. You can watch the video. You can replay it. You can beam it to your big screen by Apple TV or Chromecast. You can share it with your friends. If you're a teacher in a Catholic grade school or high school, you might find this a wonderful series for Lent. Just beam it up there, and it's free to you. You don't have to pay anything for it, right? It won't ruin your school budget. And then you can discuss it, and I think it makes people far more interested in the Mass. So that's kind of the idea. And you can go to our website, realmradio.com, or our app, and get it for free.
Well, Father Rocky, I am so much looking forward to these Lenten lessons, this year's new super-duper improved version. What's different from last year? How is it improved even more?
That's a great question. So years ago, I wrote 40 lessons on the Mass. I wanted to keep them short, under 300 words, because if you overwhelm people, it can be a non-starter. But this is something everyone can do every day. It just takes a minute. So last year, the team said, oh, we need to do video. We need to do video. We need to do video. I said, oh, my goodness, that's going to be really complicated. I finally told them, look, I've got 2 afternoons, 2 hours on Monday, 2 hours on Tuesday. I'll just talk about the Mass. You can film it, and that's up to you to edit it. So what happened last year, I did 40 videos,
wow,
but only on half of the Mass. I only got through half of the Mass. And the written lessons got through all the Mass. So this year what we did is we took those 40 videos and made them into 20 videos. They're a little bit longer. And then we recorded 25 more videos this year to complete the teachings on the Mass. And I really have to take my hat off to our team here, Damian Schmidt and Brendan Nash and Rich Pachinski and Emily Sturgeon and Colleen Shana and Beth Groshek. They're kind of the creative team here in the background. They don't get enough credit. They've really done a great job systematizing this and making it complete from the beginning to the end. But again, I said you could do 1,000 videos on the Mass. This is just a tease, all right? The Mass is inexhaustible because it's the representation of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. But you'll know, you'll see it for yourself, and I'll bet each video will lead people to ask more and more questions. And if you do have questions, you can call into Father Simon because he's an expert on the Mass. Or you can call into probably Patrick Madrid. He knows a lot about the Mass. And that's it, right? So that'd be a great thing to do for Lent when we're called to do a little prayer, a little fasting, a little almsgiving. And this kind of checks a box for all three in some way.
Father Rocky, I know you've been doing radio, obviously, now for a long, long time, but doing videos is a totally different skill set. Can you take us behind the scenes? What was it like to film this premium edition of the Lenten Lessons with the team? You know, there's a lot more involved when you're looking into a camera and trying to tell the story.
Sure. There is and there isn't. It's just talking, but I need to know what I'm talking about. So I for me, it's really easy, John. I've celebrated the Mass. My goodness. I've been a priest almost 30 years, 30 times, 365. You do the Mass. That's like 10,000. And many of those days I've celebrated 2 Masses in the summers down in Mexico. In the villages, I'd celebrate 3 or 4 Masses. So 10,000 Masses, right? When you celebrate 10,000 Masses, you know a lot about it. So that was really easy to speak about. But what makes the videos interesting is it's not just a talking head. I show people stuff, right? I show them the chalice. I explain the gold. I show them the tabernacle. I show them the altar. I show them the crucifix. It's very tangible stuff, right? It's like, I don't know, what kind of TV series show stuff, like that Fix Up Your House kind of show? People like that stuff. Or it's very tangible. I show them the sacristy. I show them the drawers that keep the sacred linens. I describe why it's called sacred, why we use linen. Right? I show them the host. I show them the closet where we hang the vestments and why they're called vestments. I explain each of the vestments, the amice, the alb, the cincture, the prayers before vesting in English or Latin. I speak about the various languages in the Mass. I mean, you just go on and on and on, right? So, but the real hard work is not my part. Right? The real hard work is the cameraman, the editor, the script writer,
Post-production, all the post-production stuff.
Yeah, post-production, all right, is like what Neil Robbins does for our sound. You know, you get 90% of it with 10% of the effort, and then you get the other 10% of it with 90% of the effort. I do the 10% of the effort, and that's kind of takes us 90% of the way there, but this team working in the background they put in 90% of the effort to polish it, to make it really excellent and outstanding. So I'm really proud of them. You know how it works. You're on the air, but you've got, you know, three, four, five people behind you, and then you got the marketing team, and you've got, you know, finance and accounting and engineers who keep the stations running. You know, it's really a collaborative. John, I got to go. I have to celebrate Mass in a few minutes. So it's been great to be with you.
It's been fantastic, Father. And it's so appropriate that you have to leave us talking about the Lenten lessons on the Mass to yourself. Go and celebrate Mass. Again, a final invitation to our listeners from you personally here this morning.
Sure. Go to relentradio.com, sign up for the Lenten Lessons of the Mass, or go to our app, and then share it with others. It'll make a great Lent, and you will. The whole hope here is that you will come to love Jesus Christ more and more. God bless you, John, and everyone. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Father Rocky. So much appreciated. And, of course, you can sign up for Father Rocky's new Lenten Lessons on the Mass. Do it this morning. I'm telling you, it is fantastic. I signed up just last week at relevantradio.com/Lent. That's relevantradio.com/Lent. I want to share with you our power scripture from the Playbook of Life, which we do every morning. And this morning, it has to do with the Mass from Revelation 3:20. Our blessed Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." Our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to hear his voice. He knocks on the door of our hearts, inviting us to sup with him, that is to eat his body and blood, soul and divinity in the Holy Eucharist. Christ desires a close intimacy with every single one of us. Do we really take advantage of this gift of love, of his true presence, substantially present in that sacred host under the appearances of bread and wine in the most holy Eucharist? Let's start today by opening the door of our hearts and letting our Lord Jesus feed us with the bread of life, the Holy Eucharist. And we always pray with great confidence, "Jesus, I trust in you." Glenn, I'm really looking forward to Father Rocky's Lenten lessons. This year, it sounds like it's better than ever before.
Well, I tell you, as an adult convert, as I've said many times to anybody who's been listening for a few minutes, but part of that experience is picking up what you can about the faith, not through growing up, in faith formation every year as you're a little kid, but you pick up what you can. I've learned a ton through Relevant Radio, and learning more about each part of the Mass and why it's there, what it means, and going deeper is really interesting, and this is a great opportunity for those who maybe don't know a ton about it, or just to kind of be refreshed so we're not just going through the motions when we're there.
Even if you know a ton about it, you always can use a refresher, a reminder. And I'm sure Father Rocky goes into a myriad of topics as he takes you from the moment you walk in to a chapel to the very last moment of the Mass and explains it all in detail. There's much more to the Mass than meets the eye. And I think that, as Father Rocky pointed out, you have to learn it. If you want to live it, if you want to love it, eventually, you'll never leave our faith and the Catholic Mass. The education of understanding what it's really about, what's really going on during the Mass when the priest invokes the Holy Spirit, the epiclesis, and asks the Holy Spirit to descend down and to transform this mere bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. I mean, it's the most powerful thing on planet Earth that can be going on. It's a miracle that happens every single day right in front of our eyes, and oftentimes we just take it for granted, Glenn.
Yeah, and we shouldn't do that, because it is quite miraculous. An area priest once was talking about a potential Eucharistic miracle, and they were wondering how far to explore that, and another priest had mentioned, hey, we have a miracle every single day at Mass as Jesus becomes present right here, and we should never forget how amazing that was. Now, this video from Father Rocky would be a great tool to help you learn more about the Mass experience. And another thing, too, want to add as well, another great tool, and we had this as a thank you gift in one of our pledge drives maybe a year or two back. It's from Andrea Zachman, a book called The Sacred That Surrounds Us, and it looks at all of the things that are present at Mass and what the role and origin and some of the background of those, you know, why that table's over there, you know, why that gold thing is over there, what's that called? And a great tool not only for teaching kids, but again, like we said with Father Rocky's videos, for reminding us, too, the great meaning behind everything that we do and see when we're at Mass.
And Glenn, it's quite encouraging and uplifting to hear Father Rocky talk about the fact that we now have over 130,000 listeners that have signed up for these Lenten lessons on the Mass. That's pretty impressive. That's how hungry our audience is to really go deeper, to take it to the next level and really better understand the Mass.
And it's a great response, and we want to keep feeding you every day on everything we do, on and even off the air here through Relevant Radio.
Absolutely. And as Father mentioned, this is a new and improved version. He actually picked up on where we left off last year, so there's much more brand new content that has been filmed to be able to be spread out throughout all of Lent. And definitely looking forward to it. And again, I want to just remind our listeners, all they have to do is go to relevantradio.com /Lent. It's actually, there's a link right on the front page that you can go to sign up. It takes only a moment. I did it myself one day last week. So this will allow us to really learn the Mass, live the Mass, and further fall in love with the Mass more than ever before. Glenn, especially for you as a convert, this has got to be very meaningful to have this opportunity to learn even more about Holy Mass.
Yeah, we should never really get tired about learning about our faith, learning about the Lord through Scripture, appreciating the Lord in His real presence in the Mass, and getting more out of it. That'll help us, I think, too, to, John, stay more awake and aware when we're at Mass, less of maybe going through the motions, and going deeper, too, by realizing what's really going on.
Yeah, going through the motions is not a good thing, so we want to do just the opposite. We want to really understand at the heart level what is going on in the Mass. Again, all you have to do is go to relevantradio.com/Lent. Thanks so much, Glenn, and we'll be checking in with you a little bit later with the Story Corner. Thanks again.
Sounds good.
We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Sean Carney, the president and co-founder of 40 Days for Life, will be with us to fill us in on the upcoming Spring Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign. Stay with us as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
Coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Good morning, life. Good morning, sun. How are you, skies above? Gee, it's great to be alive and in love.
Are you smiling now? Are you smiling now? Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us this morning here on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. Again, our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, the largest Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign ever begins in 588 cities worldwide just a week from today on Ash Wednesday. Are you ready? Moms, babies, families, and the future of the nation all hang in the balance. It's time to go.
I had always considered myself pro-life, but it was once I got involved with 40 Days for Life that really caused me to make it my own, to challenge myself, to learn more about what abortion was, what the community resources were in our area, and how to truly help women choose life and help families in our community.
This is the most amazing, peaceful, loving way to truly help women and to save babies. I feel like it's the greatest opportunity for God to use us as His vessels and to be a presence on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, to touch the hearts and minds of not only the women, not only to save the babies, but to be there as a presence for the people within the clinic as well as the sidewalk escorts, anybody that has anything to do with abortion, to be able to be a light in their lives and try and plant a seed for them.
And now joining us live from Houston, Texas, is Sean Carney, the president and CEO and co-founder of 40 Days for Life, 40daysforlife.com, the world's largest grassroots movement to end abortion. Sean also has been executive producer of several award-winning pro-life documentaries, and he's co-authored the number one top-rated Christian book, 40 Days for Life, Discover What God Has Done, Imagine What He Can Do, and of course his recent book, What to Say When, the Complete New Guide to Discussing Abortion. Sean lives in Texas with his wife and eight children. Good morning, Sean. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's great to be with you.
Good morning. Good to be back. Happy pre-Lent.
Absolutely. Happy pre-Lent to you, Sean. You know, before we talk about this exciting upcoming spring 40 Days for Life campaign, for folks that may not be plugged in, they're just not familiar with the great things that your movement has been doing, can you share with us a few of the basics on the mission of 40 Days for Life?
Yeah, well, it's easy for helping to end abortion where you live because it's based in the grassroots. We hold peaceful, law-abiding vigils outside of abortion facilities simultaneously in cities around the world for 40 straight days. And so we have a fall campaign, which is usually our largest of the year. And then we have a campaign in conjunction with the holy season of Lent, which obviously starts on March 2nd, Ash Wednesday. And so 2 40 Days for Life campaigns a year. We also have about 70 cities that go year-round with their vigils through 40 Days for Life 365. But this is a great time to make it part of your Lenten journey, to take an hour a week to go out to your local 40 Days for Life campaign and peacefully pray. And it has a huge impact. I mean, the former Planned Parenthood workers tell us that the no-show rate for an abortion appointment goes as high as 75% when we're out there.
That is awesome news, and it's something that you've seen firsthand, the power of prayer and fasting. Can you talk about a little bit about how prayer can not only change hearts, but literally save lives?
Yeah, and it's prayer, and as St. Thomas Aquinas always talked about, the power of presence, being there. And no one grows up wanting an abortion. No one grows up wanting to work in the abortion industry. There aren't doctors right now in medical school striving to be the best abortionists in the history of America. And so you're really the only one that wants to be there. And that's powerful when a woman drives up. And we've had hundreds of them say, I prayed that morning that God would send me a sign. I knew this was wrong, and you were that sign. You know, thank you. Here's my little girl. That happens all the time. And so, you know, we have to show up. Of course, we need to pray in our churches and pray in our homes, first and foremost. And then we also, if we are able to physically go out to where the injustice actually takes place, and thank God we're able to do that. We live in a great country. I mean, 40 Days for Life celebrates, obviously, life and the gift of life from God Almighty. But it also celebrates our freedom and our country. And so if we don't use our rights, we'll lose them. And 40 Days for Life is a great way to exercise our religious freedom and our freedom that so many have died to give us.
Sean, you're going to be in nearly 600 cities in this upcoming campaign. You've been in around 1,000 cities in the past. Did you ever imagine the incredible accomplishments of 40 Days for Life way back when you first started in 2007, that one day you'd be coming up on the 21,000 babies saved from abortion mark?
No, I never would have thought that, me of little faith for sure. But I think 40 Days for Life and the growth represents that no matter how outraged we are at abortion or the state of our culture, no matter how much abortion breaks our hearts, it's just nothing compared to what it does to the heart of God. And he has used this simple effort and spread it around the world and brought up so many wonderful leaders at the local level, and we've had over 1 million volunteers participate in 40 Days for Life, and that's what's happened, and it's just absolutely beautiful. And so, you know, God has taken it and spread it around the world and in ways that we never thought. Last year, we added Havana, Cuba, had their first 40 Days for Life campaign.
Wow.
Which legally was a little tricky for us to get set up.
That's amazing.
We had fun. Yeah. We've had a 40 Days in Hong Kong. We just added South Korea to the 40 Days for Life family. We just got our first inquiry from Japan. And so it's absolutely amazing to see it go, you know, to 66 countries around the world. And the world looks to America for the solution to abortion. We've exported abortion, particularly to Africa and to Latin America, through corporations and certainly through our insane government. But we have also provided the solution, and we're exporting abortion to Catholic countries that love children, countries that have a lot of kids, that love family, and we're saying you ought not breed. It's literally the most elitist message we could give them, and we do it and pat ourselves on the back and talk about how tolerant we are. And so it's been a joy to see 40 Days for Life go into Africa, go into Latin America, go into these countries who don't resent us, but knock on our door for the solution.
Sean, let's talk about this upcoming Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign. Why do you think that this year's campaign is so important, more important than ever before?
Because the abortion industry is dying in our country. Certainly it is where I live in Texas with the Heartbeat Act, but they are extremely worried about the overturning of Roe v. Wade. They should be. That announcement will come out in June. And unlike previous times in history where the abortion industry has taken a big hit, Planned Parenthood was unprepared for this, and their CEO is not very competent. I say that respectfully, but they don't have the talented executives that they have had in their history, unfortunately for us. They're weak at the top right now, and they're usually very strong at the top. And so they're overwhelmed. It's amazing the silence that you see from Planned Parenthood recently. It's very, very telling. So they're very worried. They should be. And all of the listeners, all the wonderful Christians and Catholics who are part of Respect Life groups or 40 Days for Life or these wonderful pregnancy resource centers, you have made the difference. You have killed the abortion industry over the last 40 years in the grassroots, and it has finally trickled up to where Roe v. Wade has a great chance of being overturned. Maybe it won't be, and it'll be upheld, and we're ready for that as well. But we're definitely ready for it to be overturned, and the abortion industry is not. So this is the time now not to sit back and say, well, it's over. It's not over. They are already rolling out mail order abortions, over-the-counter abortions. This is kind of the new wave in the future of abortion. So we need to go out there. We need to go to these abortion facilities and pray. And Lent is a beautiful time to do it. There's something special about praying for an abortion facility worker outside of an abortion facility during Lent, or praying for women who feel that they have no other option than to have an abortion. So it's a great time and an exciting time in our culture, because we're winning the battle for life and we're losing other fronts. There's no doubt. It's not rosy in America. It's very bad, but not for the unborn. And we need to finish the job.
We're joined by Sean Carney, the president co-founder of 40 Days for Life, talking about the upcoming Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign. Sean, you mentioned you've had over a million volunteers over the years. For our listeners who may be listening to your words right this moment, how can they be a part of this campaign? How can they volunteer? How can they be leaders?
Well, I want to encourage them to have that abandonment to Jesus Christ and overcome the fear of going out and praying at an abortion facility. Everybody, I was scared the first time I went out. I was nervous. I didn't want to go, you know, and you just overcome that. That's why it's not a protest. It truly is a prayer vigil, and it's built on love. It's built on compassion. It's built on mercy, and it's built on truth. And those involved with abortion recognize that more than we do, especially over a 40-day time period. Most of the workers who have had a change of heart, they leave or convert the last week of the campaign. The first week, they hate us, right? We're out there, and they're like, get lost. But the last 2 weeks, they quit thinking about us, and they think about why we're there and why they're there, which is often they've never thought about before. So it's very powerful. We got to overcome a little bit of fear, and that's Lent is a great time to do that.
If you're passionate about defending life, or if you've been a part of past 40 Days for Life campaigns and you want to share your experience of praying outside of these abortion clinics, or perhaps you might even have a question or comment for Sean Carney, our number this morning, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Sean, we need to take a short break, but we're going to continue our conversation with Sean Carney, the president, CEO, and co-founder of 40 Days for Life. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air and Relevant Radio on the other side.
And I think it is so empowering for women if they have at least one person who can show them the hope and that can show them that the what if can connect to something positive down the road. And for the concerns that there are always answers, always resources, these things can always be worked out. But once a life is taken, there's no going back. Finances can be fixed. Help can be provided. That can be worked out. But once that child is gone, there's no going back.
Powerful testimony of the largest Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign ever, which begins in 588 cities worldwide a week from today. In fact, this is a very, very exciting spring campaign that we're talking about with the president and co-founder of 40 Days for Life, Sean Carney. Sean, welcome back.
Good to be back. Thanks for having me on.
Sean, it's always a joy to be with you. I love your passion for the issue of life. And I believe that, especially after what we saw at the various marches on both coasts, in D.C. and on the West Coast, at this time in history, more than ever before, this is an exciting time to be pro-life. Can you talk about why this is an issue that pertains to all of us, not just the people already involved in the pro-life movement?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is no room for the fence on abortion, because we either, we as the church and science, know or believe that every abortion has to kill a baby. And the other half of our country denies that baby has a right to live. Many abortion advocates now will grant life in the womb and that life begins at conception, but that we can control it, that we can actually dehumanize the unborn, which is exactly what Roe v. Wade did in the United States. And so that's a large gap. I mean, we have a huge segment of our population where one half of the country thinks they have no rights, not even the right to live. And the other half believes that this is, you know, the greatest injustice that Earth has ever seen. And we've never done this as mankind. The world crashes down on regional or national genocides or holocausts. And yet we've never done this to our own children with the permission of 95% of the governments around the world. It is simply unprecedented from the numbers alone. There are 56 million abortions around the world every year. And so the sheer weight of the abortion issue doesn't allow us. It's not health care. It's not immigration. It's not defense spending. It's not infrastructure. It's not proportional to any other issue in our country right now, or any other country where abortion is. And so we can't merely have an intellectual opinion on it, which is the easiest to have and that a six-year-old can have because we know life begins at conception. We have to go beyond that into certainly to pray. And if we're able to follow up that prayer with action, because action goes a long way, and we're living in the midst of it. You know, history will be and ought to be a very harsh judge on this time in history, and particularly the abortion era, legalized abortion around the world. And we have a beautiful opportunity to witness to the gospel of life and the joy of life to a culture that's starving for it.
Sean, you mentioned this staggering number that's hard to wrap your mind around, 56 million abortions per year around the world. How can even one put it into perspective? It's sad to hear, but my family's homeland, Colombia in South America, they just legalized abortion during the first 24 weeks of pregnancy. When you hear news like this, it makes it even more real, the importance of promoting the culture of life, because what's going on in Colombia is spreading like a virus throughout Latin America.
It is, and I've been to Colombia. 40 Days for Life has a huge presence in Colombia. We have a nearly 30 40 Days for Life campaigns throughout Colombia. We had a conference in Colombia 2 years ago when I went down there, and there is actually a two square miles where there are 80 abortion facilities. They're all concentrated in one area.
In Bogota? We're talking about Bogota, the capital.
In Bogota, yes. And there's abortion facilities in Cali as well, but Bogota has, 80 abortion facilities within 2 square miles. And it's literally unbelievable. And, you don't get into all the dirty business of it, but, we see, particularly in Latin America, the sex trafficking issues, the cartel, they have great relationships with the abortion industry, with Pro Familia, which is Planned Parenthood in Latin America. And it is what you think it is. It is a very dark part of those countries. And Colombia, as you know, is pro-life. The people are pro-life. Same with Mexico, where we have over 100 campaigns. But it's very pro-life. The families are, but the governments are not, and the elites are not. And so this is where it is beautiful that, we're able to export pregnancy resource centers, export 40 Days for Life around the world, and support these people who hate abortion and who love children.
And there's good things happening even in Colombia. I know in the past, talking to your colleague Lourdes Varela, who is in Mexico City, she runs the 40 Days for Life campaign in Latin America. She's talked about how there's been as many as 5,000 pro-lifers show up at campaigns for 40 Days for Life in Bogota. So, I mean, like you said, it's a pro-life country, and yet this organization, Pro Familia, which makes no sense, but it means pro-family, under the umbrella of Planned Parenthood, is trying to change everything.
Absolutely. And that is Planned Parenthood. That's Planned Parenthood International, is Pro Familia. And love them or hate them, Donald Trump defunded them as president, and they were in big trouble under his presidency. All the international abortion providers, because the United States cut all their funding. Now they're getting more than they've ever received from the United States with our new administration. But for a while, Pro Familia, during the Trump years was really hurting, because we had grown significantly around Latin America, and they had never had that. I mean, there was no public pro-life opposition to them. They were just sitting there as kind of the local heroes providing abortion. And 40 Days for Life showed up, and then they got defunded from the United States, which they're heavily dependent on. And so it's, there are a lot of good going on in these countries, but particularly in Latin America and Africa, abortion is illegal in these countries. It just goes on. And Marie Stopes or Planned Parenthood sets up shop, and they do abortions, and they call it something else. And they have all sorts of ways in Nigeria or in Brazil to do abortions, even though it's illegal. And so, but the laws are changing. That's why you hear things like Colombia, Argentina, a couple of years ago, where we have another large presence there. But it's been going on. They're just legalizing it, and that needs to get the attention of a lot of people. By the way, when America gets rid of abortion and Roe v. Wade is overturned, the huge wave of faith and confidence that will go around the world will be unbelievable. I mean, nobody thinks that abortion is ending in America. And when Roe v. Wade is overturned internationally, they're going to not only believe it, but they're going to know it, and they're going to think they can do it where they live.
Sean, I know that you're very passionate about the reality that no matter what happens with the Supreme Court, whether or not it reverses Roe, your mission at 40 Days for Life isn't going to change. At the end of the day, it'll be our Lord Jesus Christ, not the judicial system, that will end abortion.
Absolutely. And this is the blessing of how God has used 40 Days for Life, is if Roe v. Wade is overturned, and you'll have many of these states, some of them are already declaring themselves abortion safe havens. Nobody's in better position than 40 Days for Life, because our largest presence are in the most pro-abortion states, New York, California, Illinois, New Jersey. And so we will be in those states more than we ever have been, because it will come down. You know, it'll go back to the states, and these states will say, you can do abortions up until the day of birth, and it'll be totally legal there. They'll be able to do that. And so we'll be able to go in and like you said, focus on the hearts and minds. And when you do that, you drive down the bottom line of the abortion industry. And they're there to do abortions. That's the goal. That's what brings in their income. And when you drop the abortion numbers, they'll close. And we see that now. We've had a lot of abortion facilities close in California. You know, and it's perfectly legal to do abortions there. And so it doesn't mean that abortion is forever here once Roe v. Wade overturns it. It also doesn't mean that it instantly goes away. It's the opposite.
How uplifting has it been to see so many babies, somewhere between 50 and 100 a day being saved right there in your own state of Texas with the heartbeat bill?
Oh, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And you're going to start to see, John, and everybody around the country, we're just about to see a lot of abortion facilities close in Texas. You know, they're kind of waiting. And even their own lawyer, I don't know why she said this publicly, but they're basically waiting on a miracle for the Supreme Court somehow to bail them out, which has already failed. And so it's not going to happen. But once that miracle doesn't happen for them, they'll have to start closing facilities. And that is going to be very, very interesting, because you can't run an abortion facility without doing abortion. That's just the fact. And so we're going to see some closures around Texas very, very soon, because they are, they're hurting. They're hurting badly. And it's a very exciting time. I mean, Texas is the 10th largest economy in the world, and it is on the verge of being abortion free.
Again, 40daysforlife.com to sign up and be a part of the Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign that starts a week from today. Sean, I so much appreciate you being with us. It's always a joy.
Always a joy to talk to you. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, my friend. Sean Carney, the president and CEO and co-founder of 40 Days for Life. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called A Rose Quartz Bracelet. It's by Karina from Sunny Skies. Today, my Nana was able to fly down and see me and her great-grandkids. She told me about this beautiful event that occurred prior to boarding her plane. She was chatting with a flight attendant assigned to help her board about how this is her first vacation in 67 years without her husband, who passed away this last year, and she was looking forward to seeing her granddaughter and great-grandchildren, a visit made extra special as it was her birthday. She got emotional, and then a mom and her three little kids came over, and the oldest said they too are going to visit their great-grandma, who lost her husband recently, and it too was her birthday. And they asked if they could give my grandma a birthday present. They gave her a rose quartz bracelet that they'd gotten from the gift shop and wished her a happy birthday. They then went back into the store and got their great-grandma another bracelet, same type as they'd given the original gift to my grandma. This cheered everyone up immensely. Somewhere out there, another great-grandma sporting the exact same bracelet. Such a lovely gesture from a lovely family that she didn't know and will most likely never see again, and also never forget. James 1:27 reminds us, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world.
Thanks so much, Glenn. Let's continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with the threat of a full Russian invasion. Pray the rosary with Father Rocky and the Family Rosary Across America, 7 p.m. Central tonight, and pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy at 3 p.m. Central this afternoon on the Drew Mariani Show. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, for the entire team, thanks so much for joining us. In the words of St. John Paul II, be not afraid, open wide the doors for Christ. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.